I have a real simple message tonight. In fact, I only have one point. Just one point. And I'll get to that I guess you might say I might have more than one point, but I want to use just one phrase from one of the verses that we read a moment ago. It's in verse 17, where the Bible says, "He will rest in his love." God will rest in his love. That passage that we read talked about the Lord forgiving Israel of one of the times they turned away from him. He had sent judgment to them, and they had turned back to him. And so those verses that we read were encouraging the Israelites, the people of God, to rejoice because God had taken away the judgments that he had brought on them because of their rebellion. He had cast out the enemy that had brought about those judgments. He reminded them that he was once again in their midst. And so he said he will rest in his love. Now, in the context of the verse, what that means is that he had completed his love for Israel because of their repentance. That the love that he had showed to them and the form that it took, removing the judgment, sending out the enemy that brought that judgment upon them, was done. There was nothing more that he could do to show his forgiveness. His forgiveness was complete. His love was complete. But I want to take it a step further and tell you that God rested in his love a long time ago. Now, it doesn't mean that God got tired of loving us at some point and had to rest. That word rest is the same word that's used in the book of Genesis, where after God spent 6 days creating all things that we see around us, the heavens and the bodies that are in the heavens, all the earth and everything's in the earth, and mankind, when God looked at it, when he got through with his creative act, the Bible says that he saw everything that he had made, and it was good. And he rested the seventh day. In other words, everything was just the way he wanted it. There was nothing that needed to be added to creation. There was nothing that needed to be taken away from creation. It was exactly the way the Lord planned it. It was exactly the way the Lord wanted it. There was nothing else for him to do. And so he rested that seventh day because everything was just the way he wanted it. I think that we could say about God that he rested in his love for us before he made the world. You say, Brother Darrell, how can that be? I mean, before he made the... How could you say that God could look at the love that he had for mankind before the world was made, before the first sin was committed, before anything in the Bible was written about prophecy of the Savior, before Jesus came to earth, born of a virgin, before he lived a perfect life, before he went to the cross, before he suffered for us on the cross to pay for our sins, before he was laid in the grave, before he was resurrected and ascended back to heaven, before he took his seat at the right hand of God, our advocate, how could you say that he rested in his love before any of that happened, before he even made the earth? Let me tell you. He had it all planned out. He knew what was going to happen. He knew mankind was going to turn away from him. He knew mankind, even though he'd put Adam and Eve in the perfect environment, was going to break the one rule that he gave them in the Garden of Eden. He knew sin was going to come into the world. And he already had planned, already had in motion the thing that was going to pay for that sin. He already knew that he was going to send Jesus. He already knew that Jesus was going to live a perfect life. He already knew that he was going to go to the cross, and on the cross, he was going to take all of our sins upon himself. He already knew that that sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary was going to be sufficient to meet the justice of God, and he was going to be able to forgive us of our sins and to redeem us and to justify us and to make us right in his sight, again, not because of anything that we do, but because of everything that Jesus did. He already knew that was going to happen. It was already laid out in the plan of God. That's why the Bible refers to Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. You see, just like when God created, when he created and made, again, everything that we see and the things that we can see, but everything that we have, there was nothing to be added. There was nothing to be taken away. It was perfect. It was just the way that God wanted it. So when he put the plan of salvation together before the foundation of the world, it was perfect. There was nothing that would need to be added to it. There was nothing that should be taken away from it. And that's why he could, throughout the Old Testament, prophesy what was going to happen. That's why throughout the Old Testament, he could tell us different things about Jesus. That's why throughout the Old Testament, he could paint pictures, starting in the Garden of Eden when the innocent animals were killed to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. That's why he could picture salvation in Noah's Ark. That's why he could picture salvation in the Passover lamb. That's why he could picture salvation in that red thread that was hung from Rahab's window in the city of Jericho. I mean, you just go down the line. Time after time after time, picture after picture after picture, the sacrifices of the Lamb in the temple itself, how it was laid out, the different pieces of furniture, they all pointed to Jesus Christ. They all pointed to the plan that God had formed before the foundation of the world. And before he made the world, he was able to rest in his love because he knew it was going to be just the way that he planned it. It was going to be just the way that he set it up before he spoke the first thing into existence. He could rest in his love because it was perfect. There was nothing, again, that needed to be added. There was nothing that should be taken away. And he rested in that love that he had for us. Now I want to change direction just a little bit and get to my message. About five weeks, we will celebrate being pastoring people for 30 years. Not many pastors can say that. There are some that stay at their churches a long time, but the average pastor doesn't stick around for 30 years. I was thinking about what I was going to preach when I saw Dominique up here when I saw Angie with Dominique and Shaylin and Jameson. When I first came here, Angie was about this big. Still had curly hair, but she was only about this big. I've been her pastor all this time. Been the pastor of her children. Now, I'll admit to you tonight, I always have not been what I needed to be as a pastor. There's mistakes that I have made. There are people that I wasn't as kind to that I should have been kinder to. There are things that I've said that probably should have remained unsaid. There probably are things that should have been said that I left unsaid. And so I can't stand before you tonight and imply in any way that I have been a perfect pastor. And I appreciate the patience that you've exhibited for me, toward me, down through the years, in overlooking and forgiving my shortcomings as a pastor. But there's one thing I'm going to tell you tonight. I rest in my love for you. I don't know how I could love you anymore. I mentioned last week, and I saw Adam put it, or somebody put it on Facebook, somebody's praying for you. I pray for you all every day. I go through the directory. The church has gotten so big, I used to do it all at one time, but I have to break it up now. I do some of it in the morning and some of it at night. But I get you all in every day. I've tried to be there when you needed your pastor to be there. And I rest in my love for you tonight. I rest in the love that I have for my children. I haven't always been the perfect dad. I haven't always been there when I needed to be there. But I hope my kids, including my daughter-in-law, who I kid a lot, but I hope that when they stand at my casket, they will know that they had a dad that loved them. I hope those three little grandkids that call me Paul know that they have a grandpa that loves them. I try to tell them. I try to show them. I spoil them, and I send them home to mom and dad. I feed them candy and cookies and just take them out and buy them all sorts of things and send them home to their mean parents. I let them stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning, sleep till 11, then send them home to mom and dad, who make them go to bed early and get up early. And I'm teasing. But, well, not really, but I don't want there to be any doubt in their mind when they think about their grandpa, that they have a grandpa that loves them. Now, here's my one point tonight. God has put people in your life that you need to love. And you ought to ask the question, as you think about those people that he's put in your life to love, can I love them anymore? Is there more that I could do to show my love? Is there any other things that I could say? Is there any other things that I could do to show the love that I have for that person more than I am now? And if there are things that you can identify as you answer that question, my message tonight is go ahead and do it. Do it. Don't say, well, I'll wait till tomorrow. I'll wait till next week. I'll get to it next month. I speak from experience. You may not have tomorrow. You may not have next week. There's others sitting in the room tonight that know exactly what I'm talking about. You may not have next week. You may not have next month. And so if you answer that question, yeah, preacher, there's probably some different, more and different things that I could do to express my love for those people that God has put in my life to love. And by the way, that includes your family, your all your family. That includes your friends. That includes the people that you go to church with. That includes your neighbors. That includes everybody that God has put in your life. We love them. Again, we love them as God has loved us. There are people God puts in our life that as we look at their life, we might say, well, they don't deserve to be loved. But listen, everybody deserves to be loved. God didn't pick and choose when he showed his love for us. He loved the whole world. He loved even those that he knew was going to reject Jesus. He loved them enough to send his son to die for them, even though he knew beforehand that they were going to reject him and have nothing to do with Christ. He loved them. And he expects us to love others the same way. And so again, a real simple point tonight, real simple message tonight, don't let the opportunities that God has given you to love other people pass. Take advantage of them all. Take advantage of every one of them. Rest in the love that you have for other people. And when you rest in the love that you have for other people, what you're saying is, I've done it the best I know how. There's nothing else I know to do to love that person. I've done it the best that I can. And then, of course, as we think about our love for God, we ought to rest in our love for him as well. We ought not to ever let an opportunity pass by where we don't express our love to God. He ought to know that we love him. We ought to tell him. We ought to show him in our actions. How can we show him in our actions? Well, we can show him in our actions by staying in this book. We can show him in our actions by spending time in prayer. We can show him in our actions by coming to his place and joining ourselves together as a church family. We can show him in our actions as we love other people. God rested in his love toward us because it was complete. It was perfect. There was nothing else that could be added. We need to rest in our love for one another that same way. And we need to rest in our love for God that same way. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. It's been a sweet, sweet time to be in your house tonight. Just a sweet, sweet spirit. As Brother Bill was testifying a minute ago, there's been a sweet, sweet spirit in this place tonight. And Father, I pray if there's somebody here that hasn't bathed themselves in that fountain of blood that Jesus shed on Calvary for their salvation, if there's somebody here tonight still in their sin, I pray that you would show them the love that you had for them, the love that Christ carried to Calvary, the love that caused him to die on that cross to pay for their sins. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would bring them to the Savior tonight. Most of us are Christians tonight. We've been to that fountain. I pray you'd help us. Help us, Father, to rest in our love for you, to rest in our love for those that God has put in our life. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to do what we need to do tonight, and we'll give our Savior all the glory. First, in his name we pray. Amen.